Okay. Okay, today's topic, when we're talking about medical ethics, this topic might be the most emotionally charged, or it might be the hottest topic in medical ethics. The title of tonight's lecture is Kvias Rega Hamoves. So this is the determining the precise moment of death. When can we consider the person halachically nifter, the person is no longer alive, or at what point could we consider do we consider the person still alive? In item hey, I guess I'll start with this. In item hey, so I wrote down three practical reasons why we need to know the precise moment of death. There could be more reasons, but these are the three reasons that the Poskim discuss. Number one, we have to know simply when it's time to bury the person, because we're not supposed to leave the person, the body, loisalin es ames. You can't be over baltalin. You can't keep the body overnight unless there are extenuating circumstances. We know of scheduling a funeral the next day or after Shabbos. We know about that. That's for the kavod ames. But otherwise, there's an asay and there's a negative commandment, an asay, a lavin, an asay, to leave the mace unburied overnight. So we have to know at what point is the body subject to burial. We can't bury while the person's alive, obviously, and we can't wait too long after the person passes away. The second nafkamina, the second difference is, are we still obligated to save the person, to rescue the person, whether we're discussing Chilul Shabbos or whether we're discussing during the week, to extend the life, to intervene in order to save the life, to prolong the life. And the third reason, which is really why the topic became such a hot topic, is regarding organ donations, harvesting organs from the body. So obviously, if the person is a goses, if the person is on his deathbed, we learned in previous shiurim, we're not even allowed to touch the mace because that could inadvertently cause that the mace would pass away. So we're not allowed to even touch the mace unless it's the tzarech of the mace. So certainly, we wouldn't be allowed to extract, to harvest organs. At the same time, the organ is the healthiest. The sooner it's extracted from the body, the better. Because if we wait too long, the organ would suffer the lack of oxygen and so forth, and the cells in the organ would start to die themselves. So there's a certain urgency to harvest the organs as quickly as we can. So that's sort of the tension to determine exactly the precise moment of death. So, by the way, Jewish law does not permit donating organs just that they should be in circulation. We're talking about, because there's a chiyuv kvura, we're talking about if there would be an actual mace, if there would be an actual pikuach nefesh, a sakonas nefashis question in front of us, that it would be permissible to cancel the burial in order to extract the organs for the purpose of saving someone else. But of course, we can't kill one person to save another. So the question arises, at what point can we harvest the organs in order to save the other patient, which is a question of pikuach nefesh. So the Gemara discusses what the point of death is in terms of saving the person on Shabbos. Let's start from item Aleph. So the famous Gemara in Yuma, Pei Hei Amud Aleph. So Tan Rabbanan. So we learned in a Braisa. Ad Heichen Hu Baidik. So we're talking about, we came across this case before. We're talking about that a building collapsed onto someone. So we search, even though it's Shabbos, we have a rescue search in order to save people. Ad Heichen Hu Baidik. So when we come across bodies, so the bodies are unresponsive, at what point, how far do we check to ascertain if there are still vital signs? Where do we check for the vital signs? So says the Gemara ad chotmo. The first opinion is we check the person's nose. In other words, we put something next to the nose and see if the person is breathing. So in medical terms, we would check the respiratory system. We would be checking if there's respiration. Is the person breathing? The Yeshoimim, others say ad libo. Others say we check the heart. So we're checking the cardiac. We're checking if there's a pulse. We're checking if there's a heartbeat. According to the first opinion, we're checking primarily the respiratory system. Is the person breathing? According to the second opinion, we're checking the heart. Can we discern a heartbeat? Now, the Gemara goes on, Badaku matza el yoinim meisim. The Gemara says, even if the top layer of people, lo yoleinu, are passed away, lo yoimar kfar meisu hatachtoinim, we're not miyayish, we don't despair, and we don't say that there's no chance that people underneath will be living. Rather, we continue to search. Maisa hayu umatzu el yoinim meisim hatachtoinim chayim, that lo and behold, they once found that the top layer of bodies were already dead, but there were people living underneath. We shouldn't know this. I mean, unfortunately, the World Trade Center, it's incredible that things that we learn in the Gemara seem to be coming more and more common, that we have to go on these rescue searches. The Gemara says something interesting. Back to the original Machlokes, are we searching, is the primary vital sign the nose, the breathing, can we sense breathing, the respiratory system, or are we searching for a heartbeat? Neima kahani tanoi. The Gemara wants to depend this on a different argument in the Gemara. Neima hani kanoi tihani tanoi. Desanya. Mehechen havlad noitzer. So nowadays we can probably tell from a sonogram, how is the fetus inside, how is it created? From what's the starting point of the formation of the fetus? We know that the cell multiplies and it turns into a fetus. So where is it starting from? So the first opinion says, Mirosho, it starts from the head. Mirosho, it starts from the head, Shenemar, as it says, Mimei imi atagozi, that from the womb of my mother, you gozi, you formed me. And what does the word goz mean? So Va'omer gozi nidrechav ashlichi, referring to a nazir, it says that he cuts his hair and we cast the hair. So the word gozi is specifically a reference to the hair, to the hair on the head. So the pasuk says, "Mimei imi ategozi," that you formed me from the womb of my mother, referring specifically, you alluding to the hair, which this opinion says that the body, that the fetus is created, begins with the head. So the Gemara wants to say that if the fetus is beginning with the head, so then apparently it's the brain, it's the respiratory system that is the main source of vitality of the body. Abishol says, Mitiburo, the person is created from his tibur, from his abdomen, from his belly. Umishaleach shroshav eilach ve'eilach, and the body spreads out from the middle and forms all of the organs and all of the limbs. So according to Abishol, that the body is created from the middle, so then, presumably, it's the heart, which is in the middle of the body, which is the main source of the vitality of the person. So the Gemara says, Afilu tema Abishol, no, it's not conclusive. Even if Abishol maintains that the fetus, the embryo and the fetus, form from the middle, from the heart, but Abishol could agree that once the person is born and the person is alive, the criteria, the primary vital sign would be the breathing, the respiratory system. Ad kan lekomer Abishol hasam el le'inyin yitzira. Abishol is referring to the formation of the vlad. The komidi mimtziasam mitzer. The reason why Abishol has a theory that the baby is created from the middle is because we know that everything is created from the middle. We know Chazal tell us that when Hashem created the world, He created the world from the Evin Shesia. So the Makom HaMikdash is considered the center of the world, and the entire world was formed with clods of earth around the Evin Shesia, which is a stone that's embedded in the ground in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the way Hashem operates. He creates everything from the middle. That's why Abishol assumes that the fetus and the embryo would be the same thing. It would be created from the middle. But once the person is created and born, and the person is a living entity, so then even Abishol might agree, afilu Abishol moide de ikir chiyusa ba'apehu, that Abishol would agree that the primary vital sign of the person is his nose. The ksiv kol asher nishmas ruachayim ba'apav, as it says, that Hashem breathes a breath of life, ruachayim ba'apav, the person has life in his nose. Now, when the Gemara says nose, obviously it doesn't mean the extremity of the face, the actual nose. The nose is not the source of life. The nose is just where the oxygen is inhaled into the body. The nose represents the respiratory system of the person. Now, the way the Gemara puts it, it seems like the two opinions are mutually exclusive. One opinion says that the criteria for determining if the person is alive or dead is whether we can sense a heartbeat. Libo. The other opinion says that the criteria for determining if the person is alive or dead is whether the person is breathing, which is the respiratory system. But Rav Papa clarifies. Omar Rav Papa, machloikes mimata, mimata lamaila. So the argument is mimata lamaila. The question is, if you're digging and you're searching and you find the body from the feet, mimata, from below, and you're digging upward, you're digging up along the body. So then the first thing we encounter is the mukum of the lathe, of the heart. So we can discern a heartbeat or we can't discern a heartbeat. That's when they argue that the second opinion says we can assume the person is no longer living if we can't discern a heartbeat. The second opinion says no. We have to search further than the heartbeat. We also have to check if the person is breathing. Avo mimaila lamata, but if you first encounter the head and you're digging and the person is upright and you reach the head before you reach the chest, then Rav Papa says, everybody agrees that if we cannot discern that the person is breathing, you no longer have to check further. As the Pasuk says, Nishmas Ruachayim Ba'apov, as the Pasuk says, that Asher Nishmas Ruachayim Ba'apov, that the soul of the person, the breath of life is breathed into the person, so the final vital sign is the breathing. So we have, at first the Gemara seems to say, that it's two different signs. We have the heart beating, and we also have the respiratory system. But then Rav Papa clarifies that everybody agrees that the most decisive vital sign is the respiratory system, is the breathing. So if we can determine that the person is no longer breathing, we need not check for a heartbeat. If we're digging and we encounter the head and we can discern that there's no breathing, there's no signs of breathing. So as the Pasuk says, Kol asher nishmas ruach chayim ba'apov, that the sign of life is to have a breath of life in the person's nose, that we can sense that there's airflow between the person is breathing in and exhaling. So that's the primary criteria for life. We need not check for a heartbeat. The argument is the other way around, that if we cannot discern a heartbeat, we can't tell if the heart is beating. It doesn't seem that the heart is beating. Is that sufficient proof that the person is no longer living? Or must we check further? Is there breathing going on? In Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Hilchos Shabbos, because that's where this halacha was relevant, the way it was brought in the Gemara, if we're allowed to violate the Shabbos or not to save the person, is the person still alive? So the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Shin Chav Tes, Halacha Dalet, those are the halachas of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, Afilu Matzuhu Merutzatz, even if the person's head, the skull, is crushed, She'enu Yochel Chayos El Fisha, we talked about this the other week, that the person only has a few moments to live in any case, Mefachin, we still continue searching, Uboitkin at Chotmo, and we check until the nose. Im Loihergishu Bechotmo Chias, if we cannot discern Chias, life, in the nose, it does not seem that the person is breathing. Oz Vadai Meis, the person is declared dead. Loishna Pagu Beroishoi Trila, it makes no difference if you reach the head first. Loishna Pagu Beraglov Trila, it makes no difference if you reach the feet first. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch is clearly ruling like the first opinion, ad chotmo. Like Rav Papa said, that ad chotmo is both a kula and a chumra. It's a leniency and a stringency. If we reach the chest first, even if we do not think that the heart is beating, we have to continue checking until the chotmo. If we're checking from the feet, we have to check the nose. And that's a chumra. It's not enough to just not discern a heartbeat. We have to check further that the person is not breathing. On the other hand, it's also a kula. If we check and we encounter the head first, and we do not discern that the person is breathing, it does not seem that he's breathing, then that's a leniency. We can already declare the person dead, and we need not check further. So the halacha paskins like the Tanakhama, according to Rav Papa. So it's mavur, summing up item base, it's mavur from the Shas and the Poiskim that the primary vital sign that is koveya, that establishes if the person is alive or dead, is the bedikas chotmo, it's his nose, which means the koyach nishimasai, it's the ability to breathe, that's the simin mumcha, that's the decisive vital sign for chayim and maves, for whether the person is still alive or whether the person passed away. That is the that is the final conclusion of the Gemara. Now the Gemara is speaking sort of in very, I don't want to use primitive terms, the Gemara is speaking sort of in very practical terms. That was before the time, before the invention of all the fancy equipment that we have in hospitals today. We're either judging the respiratory system, the breathing, the function of breathing, or we're judging through the heartbeat, through the cardiac system. Now, it's known, I did some research into this, that it's known in medicine that the body's ability to breathe, what controls the diaphragm to expand and contract, to allow oxygen to enter the lungs and then to process the oxygen and then to exhale, that is controlled by the brain, right? The brain has various compartments to it. Each compartment of the brain has a different function. The brainstem, which is the bottom of the brain, which is attached to the spinal cord, the brainstem is what sends off the electrical impulses to trigger the diaphragm to breathe. So essentially, when we say that the main criteria, what we're checking for is the respiratory system, essentially what we're discussing is the brainstem functioning, is the body exhaling and inhaling and exhaling. On the other hand, the koyach of the pi'im asalev, whether what controls the heartbeat, it's very interesting. It's it says in the medical journals that it's reflexive. It's almost there's something called on the heart. One of the chambers of the heart is the atrium. Outside the right atrium, there's something called the SA node, which is a bundle of like electrical of nerves that send off an electrical impulse that causes the heart to beat. So it's very interesting that the body, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the human body, there are two different systems that overlap. You have the brain controlling the respiratory system, and you have the heart, which is controlled by a node that's attached to the heart, which is almost like a pacemaker. It sends off electrical impulses to cause the heart to beat, to contract and expand, which is pushing the blood, the blood through the circulatory system. So you have two independent systems that are working in sync, because obviously we have to breathe the oxygen, and then the oxygen is converted into is absorbed into the body through the lungs, and the heart is pumping the blood through the rest of the body. So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Ma'rabu Masecha, that you have these two systems that are almost independently controlled, but they're working together hand in hand. So when the Gemara discusses the heartbeat, the heart could be beating even if the person is no longer breathing. Obviously, if the person is not breathing, the body will die through the lack of oxygen, and that won't last too long. But technically, the heart could be beating even if the body is not breathing. And technically, the person could be breathing, again, only for a few moments, even if the heart is not beating. So when the Gemara says that we can... Now, if either system would break down, the person would not live that much longer. So when the Gemara discusses, do we check the breathing? We're really discussing, does the body have the ability to breathe? We're not discussing the heartbeat. When the Gemara says that we can check the heartbeat, that means that we're really discussing whether the heart is beating, and we're not looking to determine if the person is breathing. So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Now, once we paskin that we're mainly concerned with the vital sign of the breathing, so now we can wonder what that means. What does that mean? What exactly are we searching for? So are we looking for the breathing, or are we looking for the heartbeat? Now, just on the side, in item Dalid, so the Rambam says in Hilchas Avelos, in Shoyft in Hilchas Avelos, that even after the person is determined to have passed away, to die, we still have to wait a few moments before handling the body or certainly burying the body because of a chash of this aleph. That this aleph sometimes it normally means to faint. In other words, perhaps the body is in shock, perhaps the body shut down, but the body will still recover and start up again. So even after the vital signs ceased to exist, whatever you're looking for, whether it's the breathing or whether it's the heartbeat, the cardiac system, you have to wait a few moments because maybe it's just, it stopped, but maybe it'll start again. So you have to wait again of a chash iluf. But once you wait a few moments and the body does not start up again, then the person is declared dead. Now, we already mentioned before, this is item hey, that we need a criteria to establish the time of death for these three basic reasons. Number one, when is it chal, the chiyuv kvura? At what point does the obligation to bury begin? We obviously can't bury the person before the person passes away. And on the other hand, there's also, we can't delay too long, only for kavod ames. We can't delay unnecessarily against burying the body. So we have to determine when is the person dead, not to bury before and not to delay too much after. The second reason why we have to have a criteria for the time of death is because we have to know if we're allowed to violate Shabbos to continue saving the person, if we're obligated to continue saving the person even during the week, and this has to do with life support, hooking the person up to life support. Are we required to hook the person up to life support? Are we allowed to remove the life support? That's what these vital signs are relevant to. And then third, which is really the reason why it more recently in the 80s became a hot topic, was because when heart transplants were experimental and now they became more routine, harvesting the organs, because we have to harvest the organ while the organ is still fresh and alive. The longer we wait, then the organ tends to be more damaged. So that's why it's important to know the criteria for exactly the moment of death. Now, there's a fascinating tshuva from the Chassam Sofer where people were erring on the other side of the spectrum, right? In other words, nowadays, the tension is that people are trying to declare the person dead earlier. Perhaps they're pushing the envelope, perhaps earlier than they should. In the days of the Chassam Sofer, he reports a minhag, and he bemoans a minhag where people are erring on the other extreme. The Chassam Sofer in Yoredeya Tshuva Shin Lamed Ches, the famous Chassam Sofer, he reports that there was a minhag that became common to keep the body to postpone burial for 3 days. Why? Because of the chash iluf, because of what the Rambam mentioned before, because perhaps the body is in some kind of trauma or shock, and maybe the body stopped breathing and the heartbeat stopped. But maybe the body is gonna start up again. So they would wait for 3 full days before they bury the body. Now, where did they get the number 3? So there's actually a Mishnah in Meseches Nida that talks about if a person is a zav has a special type of tumah associated with it that even a corpse would not have. So if the person is a zav and the person passes away, so the Mishnah says that the layman, we have to continue observing the laws of the special tumah of a zav that even a corpse doesn't have, because the person might still be alive, and it might be an iluf. It might just have been that the person fainted, that his vital signs are so faint that we can't discern them, but it's possible that the person is still alive and the body will restart. So we have to observe the special laws of tumah of a zav, it's called Evan Mesama, because the person might really be alive until the basar starts to have ekel, until the body starts to decay. So that's what the Mishnah says. So this minhag, perhaps based on that Mishnah in Nida, they would keep as a matter of routine. They would delay the burial for at least 3 days until the body is clearly dead, because they were afraid that the body was still alive. There actually is a story quoted in Meseches Smachos. It's a list of brises called Meseches Smachos. The word Smachos is a euphemism. It's referring to death and mourning. They call it like Simcha. It's a euphemism. So the Brice records the story, Mevakrim Alamesim Ad Gimel Yomim, that we actually, Mevakrim Alamesim Gimel Yomim, we actually would check on the mace for 3 days. after the mace was buried, we would check on the mace. We would check on the mace. we would check on the mace in the coffin to see if the person is knocking on the coffin to see if the person is still alive. Mevakran al mace adgim yom. So this is after they would bury the mace. The Mishnah, the Braisa says in Maseches Smachos that we would bury the coffin and we would check by the grave to see if somebody's knocking from inside the grave. And the Braisa there says pamachas chai echad akrikain chaf hei shanim. The person was once found to be alive, and they quickly dug him out, and he lived another 25 years, and he had children. He raised children after that. So there is a far-fetched, there is a long shot minority possibility that the person is actually still alive. Such a thing could be recorded. So because of that, they established a minhag to wait for 3 days until it was nisacha lebasar, until the body begins to decay. Now the Chassam Sofer was very upset at that minhag, and this is what's relevant to our discussion. So this is a fascinating example where they were erring on the side of caution to wait longer than the cessation of the vital signs. So says the Chassam Sofer, and this is in item Vav, Al Korchach Kibul Moshe Rabbeinu Hashir Mehalacha LaMoshe MiSinai. The Gemara is not making it up. The Gemara in Yuma that we started with, it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu accepted, he received the tradition from Sinai, like every other halacha Moshe MiSinai, Oishe Samchu Atzman Akra, or Chazal, our sages, based their opinion on the pasuk, as the Gemara says, Kol HaSharuach Chaim Ba'apov, that everything depends on the Neshimas Af. Everything depends on whether the person is breathing. And he continues there, V'himshech Sham, Al Kain, therefore, Klal Hu L'Kol HaMesim, that we have a general rule, Shizehu Shir HaMakum B'Yadein, that it's not necessary to wait for the 3 days. Even though it's true that it was recorded that they once made a horrible mistake and they buried somebody alive and the person was knocking on his coffin from inside, from under the ground for 3 days later, there was a horrible mistake. But the Torah tells us that we're not supposed to delay the burial. We have an Aveira, on the contrary, to delay the burial. So the Torah gave us Simanim, Mi'oz Hoysa Das Hashem Legoi Kadesh, from the very beginning of time immemorial when we became a nation, the Kol Harucha Sheba Olam, no matter all the different winds in the world, Yimalu Chafneim Ruach, even if the entire world would cup their hands and fill their hands up with other kinds of ruchais, with other ideologies or other isms, Lo Yizizenu Mimakam Teresenu Hakadosha, we are not permitted to budge from our Torah. The Torah gave us the vital signs. Once there's a cessation of the vital signs, we declare the person is dead, and we have the obligation, the meter starts ticking, to fulfill the obligation of burial. It's true, there might be a far-fetched possibility that the person is still alive, as it was recorded in Maseches Smachos, but we're not to concern ourselves with that. That's too far-fetched. Anything could happen. That's too far-fetched. We have to follow the laws of the Torah, that we have to now commence the burial once the person is declared to be dead. Now here he sums up the Gemara. Kol sha'acher shemutol ke'evin doimin. If the person is lying still as a stone, ve'ein boy shum defika, and there's no heartbeat, v'im acher kach batal haneshima, and there's no respiratory function, ein lanu eladivrei teresenu hakadosha, all we have are the words of our Torah, shehu meis v'lo yolinu oso, we're not permitted to leave the meis overnight. So these are the words of the Holy Chassam Sofer. He had the plates to determine that the person is dead. Now there's a bizarre story quoted in the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. Now this is actually going to tell us how to understand the Gemara. The Gemara talks about that the primary criteria according to the Gemara is the respiratory system. There's the Chacham Tzvi. This is the father of Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the 1700s. He cites a story there, and it's almost unbelievable that he had to busy himself with this. The story was that they shechted a chicken, and the girl, the maidservant, the girl of the house, was cutting up the chicken, cleaning the chicken, and she was periodically throwing little pieces of chicken to her pet cat that was under the table. This is what the Chacham Tzvi, he tells us the story. Now, she's busy carving up the chicken, and she sees a liver, she sees all the organs, the intestines, but lo and behold, she does not see a heart. She can't find the heart of the chicken. She looks high and low. She can't find the heart of the chicken. She's sure that she didn't toss the heart of the chicken to the cat. So where is the heart? So she brought this question to the local authorities in her little village. It's almost like the Chachmei Chelm. And the local authorities said, well, we know that if there's a hole in the heart, the animal is a trefa. It's not kosher. Certainly, if the heart is missing altogether, so this chicken must have been a trefa, because when you shechted the chicken didn't have a heart. So if the chicken didn't have a heart, even if the chicken was alive, the chicken is a trefa, because even a hole in the heart renders it trefa, certainly if it's missing a heart altogether. So the Chacham Tzvi, he basically was beside himself that you guys have to realize it's impossible for any living creature to live without a heart. If you shechted this chicken and the chicken was alive, it must have had a heart. The fact that the girl can't find the heart, she must have inadvertently dropped it, and it must have fallen out of the carcass, out of the body, and it must have been eaten by this cat that was underneath the table. But it's physically impossible for any live creature to live without a heart. Now, it seems obvious to us, and it was obvious to the Chacham Tzvi, and it's amazing, it's incredible to us that he had to write this whole tshuva in order to preclude this notion. Now, apparently it says in the tshuva that they had a counter challenge, but doesn't it say in the Gemara that even after, we just learned the Gemara together, that even after there's no heartbeat, because you discovered the body from the feet, and you already determined that there's no heartbeat, there's no discernible heartbeat, doesn't the Gemara tell us that we have to be strict and we have to go on to search if the body is breathing? Doesn't that prove that even if the heart is not working, and that means that essentially we're entertaining the notion that the body is alive without a heartbeat because the body might still be breathing? So the Chacham Tzvi, how can you say that it's possible, that it's impossible to live without a heart? Doesn't the Gemara clearly say that even after the heart is no longer beating, you still have to check if the body is breathing? So now the Chacham Tzvi teaches us an important yesod, and this is something that the contemporary poskim work with. So says the Chacham Tzvi, this is item Zion, three lines into item Zion. The gam kavanas ha-Gemara. Of course it's impossible to live without a heart, or if the heart is no longer functioning. Even the Gemara that says that after there's no heartbeat, you still have to check for the respiratory system, that you have to check the nose, even if you encounter the body from the chest up, it's not enough that there's no heartbeat, you also have to determine that he's not breathing. So here's the Chacham Tzvi. It's not because it's possible to live without a heartbeat. It's because maybe there is a heartbeat. It's just that it's indiscernible. Because since the heart is buried under the rib cage and under the lungs, so maybe you can't tell that the heart is beating. But of course, it's impossible to live without a heartbeat. The reason why we're moving on to the nose to see if the body is breathing is because that's the more decisive vital sign. Maybe the heart is still beating. Lava taitaya, we just can't tell. So the Chacham Tzvi, even though it wasn't necessary for him to say this, all the Chacham Tzvi had to say is that it's impossible for the chicken to live without the heart. But he flips it around. He says the main criteria for life is the heart, and without the heart, the person can't live. That's obvious. It all depends on the heart. And the entire checking of the respiratory system is only to tell because maybe there's a chias in the heart. That is what the Chacham Tzvi says. So it's all about the heart, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's all about the respiratory system, because even after we can't tell there's a heartbeat, we have to go on to check the respiratory system, says the Chacham Tzvi that it's really the other way around. The main criteria is the heartbeat. The only reason why we have to check the nose, the respiratory, whether there's breathing, is because we can't always tell from the chest if the heart is beating. Maybe the heart is beating. We just can't tell. It's buried into the depths of the body. We have to check the breathing because that'll be the discernible sign. And the Chacham Tzvi goes on to say that the heart is what controls the entire body. This might not be consistent with the way we understand the workings of the body today, but the Chacham Tzvi establishes without a shadow of a doubt that the main criteria is the heartbeat. The only reason why we're checking the respiratory system is because that'll be the final authority on whether the heart is still beating. but it's all about the heartbeat. That is the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. Now, in terms of all the poskim, they discuss harvesting organs, especially when it comes to the heart transplant. So I read an article. It's fascinating. Loyalena, we should never need any of this. But when a person is awaiting a heart transplant, so especially when it comes to infants, so they actually ask the parents of the recipient, do you want to wait? Are you prepared to accept the heart from someone who's cardiac dead, or do you want to have from somebody who's brain dead? They actually offer the person a choice. The parents of the infant would sign a waiver, and the recipients, they would be given the choice of what they want, of what criteria of death they want to follow. According to the Chacham Tzvi, if the heart is still beating, even if we can determine that the body is no longer breathing, and they have tests for that today, an apnea test and other tests, is the body processing the oxygen into carbon monoxide? Is the body processing the oxygen? Even if we can determine that the body is not able to breathe on its own, if the heart is still beating, the body is considered alive. That's what the Chacham Tzvi says. Because the Chacham Tzvi, in the case of the chicken, he went all the way to the other extreme, that the main criteria is the heart. And that's actually what Rashi says at the end of Item Zion. Rashi says in Yuma, Zimnin de ein chias nicker beliboy ve nicker bechoitmai. Sometimes you can't discern that the heart is beating, and it's only going to be recognizable through determining if the person is breathing. But it would seem from the Lashon of Rashi also, like the Chacham Tzvi's conclusion, that the main criteria is whether the heart is breathing. So imagine if the body is not able to breathe, and that's because the brain stem has died. So it's impossible for the body to breathe on its own, and the body is hooked up to a ventilator or a respirator. If the heart is still beating on its own, the body is alive. And according to this opinion, it would be an act of murder to take any of the organs out, because the body is at the very least at a agosis, and it would be forbidden to harvest the heart or any item or any of the organs, because the body is in the last throes of life. The person is still alive. That is the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi. Now, the Rav Moshe Feinstein has a bunch of tshuvas about this. In the first tshuva, he goes along with the Chacham Tzvi, and Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and then Sefer Shevet Halevi, they both say the same thing. Rav Shmuel Bosner says the same thing, that regardless of how you understand the Gemara, whether the criteria is the respiratory or the heartbeat, the Gemara's vital sign was when there's no other sign of life. So whether we're starting from the bottom of the body or the top of the body, whichever criteria we determine, that is assuming, like we said before, that's enough to assume that the body is no longer alive. But if you can tell that the heart is beating, so even if we do not agree with the Chacham Tzvi's assessment that the main criteria is the heart beating, even if the main criteria would be the respiratory system, if the heart is still beating, that automatically takes the body out of the majority, because majority of cases the heart is not beating if the body is not breathing, and we would have to be choishish, we would have to concern ourselves with the minority, the far-fetched possibility of iluf, that like the Rambam says, maybe the body just stopped, but it's possible to restart again. And the Poskim also discussed, someone mentioned it, that what about resuscitation, that it's possible to revive the body. So once the heart is still beating, even if that's not the main criteria, but that forces us to entertain the notion that the body is still alive. So that was the psak of the Gedolei Rabbanim for a very long time. That was the psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein in two of his kshuvis, and that was the psak of Rav Shlomo Bosner. That was the psak of a lot of the Gedolei HaPoskim. Now, eventually, I wrote it in English, eventually, in the 60s, there was something called the Harvard Criterion for Brain Death, and they established the cessation of respiratory function, because that's controlled by the brain, and neurological confirmation of complete brain death. Until now, we were discussing that the body can't breathe on its own because the bottom of the brain, the part that's attached to the spinal cord, the brain stem, died, either due to lack of oxygen or trauma or injury, the brain stem does. But that doesn't preclude the rest of the brain from still being functioning on some level. The Harvard criterion, they came up with a new criteria because of harvesting organs. They came up with a new criteria of complete brain death. And they have methods of measuring whether or not there's any kind of current or impulse, any activity at all in the entire brain. So the assumption is if the entire brain is dead, which is something that the Gemara wasn't even discussing, if the entire brain is dead, so then even if the heart is still beating, because the heart is not dependent on the brain, the heart beats through electrical impulses in the coming from the atrium. It's a fascinating system. So maybe we can declare the person dead, and that would be a big revach, because the heart is still beating, the heart is still alive, and we will be able to create, to have this fresh heart transplant. They brought this shaila before Rav Moshe Feinstein, and also before Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zechreinam Levracha, these great Rabbanim, and this is something that only these great Rabbanim could even weigh in on. And they said, well, we have another precedent, and this is fascinating. Even though that's not what the Gemara discusses, the Gemara was discussing a full body that's either breathing or not. But there's a Mishnah in Ahalos. The Mishnah in Ahalos, item Yud. If it's talking about a sheretz, it's talking about an animal that conveys tumah if the animal is dead. The Mishnah says, Hutaz roishehen, if the animal was decapitated, even if the animal is twitching and twerking because of the nerve endings, it's tameyim, it's tameh, it's considered dead. It conveys tumah as a corpse, because as a dead body. And the Mishnah brings a proof. If you cut the tail of a lizard off, the tail is clearly not attached to its life source, but the tail will twitch because of the nerves that are in the tail. So the Mishnah says conclusively that if an animal is decapitated, it doesn't make a difference if the animal is twitching or convulsing. The animal is considered dead. If it's missing its head, it's dead. So Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe Feinstein did entertain the notion that if the person, Loyalenu, is completely brain dead, not just the brain's dead, but the entire brain has ceased function, is dead, and the brain is no longer being supplied with blood, and they have all sorts of tests to determine that the brain is not functioning, and that the brain stem is not functioning, and that there's no oxygen being brought to the brain, and that there's no blood flow to the brain, the brain is essentially deteriorated. Perhaps we can consider the person decapitated, even though his body, the head is attached to the body, but inside there's nothing happening, so the person is physiologically decapitated. Perhaps we can consider the person decapitated. This was debated by the last generation of Gedolim. Rav Shlomo Zalman, though, he had a kasha, because the Mishnah says in Erchin, we actually talked about this Mishnah, the Mishnah says in Erchin that if a woman dies, God forbid, on the birthing stool, so once the woman dies, the chances are that the fetus is also going to die, because the fetus needs the vitality of the mother. So it's axiomatic, if the mother dies, the fetus will die. They went to Rav Shlomo Zalman and they said that we have an example where a woman, Loyalenu, was brain dead. She was hooked up to life support systems, and she was able to carry a pregnancy until the end. So this woman was able to carry a pregnancy and give birth, even though she was brain dead. So because of that, Rav Shlomo Zalman retracted and said that obviously brain dead is not the same as being decapitated. Because if the woman would be dead, she would not be able to carry the pregnancy. The Gemara says in Erchin, it's all text-based. The Gemara says in Erchin that if the woman dies first, the fetus will die, the baby will die. How could the woman be considered dead and carry the pregnancy? So it must be that we're wrong. It must be that brain dead is not considered dead. But then Rav Shlomo Zalman asked his trusted gaboyim and doctors to do more experimentation, to do more research, and it was determined that there was a famous story of a sheep. This is all documented. There was a famous story of a sheep that was literally decapitated, and they put the sheep, the animal, the vets, put the animal on life support, and this pregnant sheep was also able to carry a pregnancy until birth. So clearly that animal was dead, the animal was missing a head, and nevertheless, the animal was able to carry the pregnancy. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, he retracted his retraction, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said that according to the Mishnah in Olois, the person is considered dead, and the fact that they were able to carry the baby is obviously not a contradiction to the Gemara in Erchin, because the body is being sustained from external life support. So Rav Shlomo Zalman went back to his original, he entertained the possibility that brain dead would be considered physiologically decapitated. However, the maskana of Rav Shlomo Zalman was that we don't have conclusive testing to actually determine that the person is completely brain dead, and therefore he says it's a suffix. So as of my research and as of the current research from what I've read from the medical journals and from the Gedolim of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and Shlomo Zalman or Bach Zatzal, currently if the person is determined to be brain dead and the heart is still beating, the person would again, we would have to entertain that the person is alive because the heart is beating, like the Chacham Tzvi, that's considered alive. And even if you consider brain dead to be decapitated, we cannot prove conclusively that the person is totally brain dead. But theoretically, if we'd be able to prove the person is brain dead, perhaps the Poskim would entertain that the person is considered decapitated based on the Mishnah in Aulis. Okay, so this is a fascinating topic. It's a lot to think about, and as medical knowledge science develops more, perhaps the Poskim will have more clarity and the Poskim will come to a more conclusive decision.
This conference is no longer being recorded.
I just wanted to mention that we're having Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're having a good friend of mine.